And with this expanded, deepened, and attainable Aristotelian vision of eudaimonic arete, happy excellence. As we conclude our lectures on the Greeks, it'll be worthwhile, though we could talk forever about them, to recapitulate some of the ways in which that happy excellence found expression in Greek culture. To begin with, Homer and the ethic of arete, the ethic of achievement, the ethic of achieving excellence on an individual basis, which also finds expression in the Greek love of athletics and athletic contests and athletic contests, and also finds expression in the multifaceted excellence of Greek art, including the art of drama, as exemplified by Aeschylus and others, who celebrate, among other things, the formation of law, a reconceptualization of religious belief in a way, which balances conflicting claims just as law does, and which is an expression of an ongoing quest, systematically and rationally, to make sense of the world around us, whether that's expressed in a historical context, as in the case of Thucydides and Herodotus, or a scientific context, or whether it's expressed in a philosophical context, as is the case with Plato and Aristotle. Systematic rationality, individualism, new forms of government, an ethics based on achievement, these, I think, are the contributions still very, very much alive among us from the Greeks.
After listening to Lecture 9, a student posed this question to Professor Schutt. Do the philosophies of Plato and Aristotle represent irreconcilable worldviews? Let's listen to the professor's response.
Well, that's a very good question, and it's a question that over time has generated a lot of discussion. Certainly, as they present themselves, Plato's concern is much more with the timeless, with the eternal, with what, from some perspectives at least, you could call the general. And Aristotle's focus is much more on the here and now, much more on the world of becoming, much more on the specific. And Aristotle did quite explicitly imagine himself, in some respects, to be departing from Plato and indeed correcting Plato. And in antiquity, there were people who adhered to one or the other, thinking that it was very, very difficult fully to reconcile them. However, as time went on, they were reconciled. And over the centuries, more and more, they came to be seen not as conflicting visions, but as complementary visions. The person who succeeded at last in formulating a vision which made use in pretty much equal measure of Plato and Aristotle and unified their vision into a coherent, wider system was a philosopher we'll talk about later on a little bit named Plotinus, who was from Egypt and moved to Rome and lived in the 2nd century CE or AD. His legacy was called Neoplatonism, and it represented the final philosophical synthesis of antiquity, and as we'll see, it was taken over not lock, stock, and barrel, but in very large measure by Christian theologians, St. Augustine prominent among them, and went on to become the default philosophy of the Middle Ages in Christian guise.
This ends Lecture 9.